Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, hello, brothers and sisters. Pro-life leader Frank Pavone here. Welcome to our time of prayer and delving into the Word of God, which is the Word of Life. We again continue today to celebrate the Easter season, celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, this week being one great day, the day the Lord has made. Let's put ourselves in His presence and ask Him to enable us to understand His Word more deeply, live it more faithfully, and proclaim it more effectively. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we rejoice. Your Son, Jesus Christ, has conquered death. You have fulfilled your ancient prophecy through Isaiah that you would destroy the web that is woven over all nations, the veil that veils all peoples, that you would destroy death forever. Now we have arrived on that day. We have arrived on the day that you have made. We have arrived at the time when death has been robbed of its power, and even though we still must fight against its limited kingdom, it is indeed a kingdom that has been overturned. We rejoice in your grace, in your power, and in this celebration. May we now experience once again your presence in your word, which is Christ, our Lord. Amen. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. After the crippled man had been cured, while Peter and John were still speaking to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and the Sadducees confronted them, disturbed that they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They laid hands on Peter and John and put them in custody until the next day, since it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word came to believe, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. On the next day, their leaders, elders, and scribes were assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly class. They brought them into their presence and questioned them, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, answered them, "Leaders of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, namely, by what means he was saved, then all of you and all the people of Israel should know that it was in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. In his name this man stands before you healed. He is the stone rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, brothers and sisters, it is the God of the universe who took flesh in Jesus Christ. The God of the universe. There is no other God but Him. And therefore, there is no other God-man than Jesus. There is no other time, furthermore, that God, in a human nature, offered His life for us, shed His blood for the forgiveness of sins, died in order to destroy death. There is no other God than who ascended back into heaven and poured out His Spirit on us. And all of this is why Peter says, there is no salvation through anyone else. This is not a declaration that we are better than anyone else. Let's not get it wrong in that silly twisting of understanding. It has nothing to do with whether we ourselves are being faithful, better, consider ourselves superior. We shouldn't consider ourselves superior, but it has nothing to do with that. It's talking about, here's the one God of the universe. He became incarnate. He offered himself on the cross. He rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. He poured out his spirit. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That's the basis for saying that there's no salvation in anyone else. It's not a declaration about us, and it's not a declaration about others. It's not to say that we're better than anyone simply because we believe in the truth. And it's not a declaration that those who don't believe in Jesus are going to go to hell or anything like that. We're not commenting on them or what's going to happen to them. We're commenting on the way that God has given to the human family to be saved. It's not a comment on the state of the soul of other people. How sincerely are they seeking God? How honestly are they trying to find him? How faithful are they to what they already do know about God? It's not, we can't delve into those things. And we don't have to, and that's not the point of this particular teaching. I say this because the teaching itself is being lost and misrepresented and silenced by some people because they're afraid of these two other false interpretations that, number one, it's either pride or arrogance on our part, or number two, it's judgment and condemnation of somebody else. Neither one of those things. It is that God has established a way of salvation, and it is in Jesus Christ. No other name has been given to humanity by which we are to be saved. That puts, first of all, an obligation on us to proclaim that name. And that's why, you see, that's the context here. That Peter and John were speaking to the people. The religious authorities were angry that they were preaching to the people. But they didn't stop preaching because they knew if indeed Jesus is the only name given to us by which we are to be saved, we better hurry up and tell the rest of the world. We've got to proclaim it to them so that they can find this way of salvation. We're talking about God's work here. We're not talking about ourselves or others who may not yet have heard or believed the message. We're talking about God and his work. And we are presenting to all humanity the beauty and power of the gospel. If there is no salvation in anyone else, then first and foremost, we must proclaim him. Too many have lost the missionary sense of the Christian faith. They've lost it. It's like, oh, well, yeah, well, we're here to, serve humanity, feed the poor, build some houses, and promote peace on earth. And meanwhile, this says, there is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven by which we are to be saved. So are you proclaiming that name? Building a house is not proclaiming that name. It's not the same thing. It may be because you believe in that name that you're building the house, but you have to proclaim the name. Respect for other people. Acknowledgement of the fact that there are elements of truth and grace in other religions doesn't negate this truth, that there is no salvation through anyone else or any other name by which we are to be saved. It doesn't dilute our responsibility to proclaim Jesus Christ. Because again, it's not a judgment on those who aren't Christians. It's a proclamation of what God has done. And even some religious leaders, it's like, where is their zeal to bring other people to Christ? There's been a controversy over recent weeks in the conservative movement about the declaration that Jesus Christ is king. Many of you have followed this controversy online. If you haven't, just know that it pertains to exactly what I'm saying here, that people are asserting in different circles that to say Jesus Christ is king is somehow anti-Semitic. Actually, it's just the opposite. Because if we love and respect other people, if we acknowledge their ability both to find truth and their sincerity in seeking it and their ability to adjust to it, and if we truly believe that this is the one Savior of the world whose kingship means mercy, whose kingship means he sheds his blood on the cross and gives his life for us, whose kingship means he wants to raise us to the very heights of heaven, then it is nothing less than love for other people that impels us to proclaim Christ as King. We're saying Christ is King. He's your King. He loves you. He died for you. He's King not only because he's God, he's King because he breaks the power of evil. We think of a king as, you know, leading his people into battle and into victories in battle. Victories over the enemy. Victories over evil. Setting the people free. Letting them live in peace and security. This is what a king is supposed to do. This is what our King Jesus Christ does. If we really believe that, what would justify us not proclaiming him as king? What exactly would be the reason? If we're saying that we love and respect other people who do not yet know Christ as king, what would be the reason that we wouldn't want to give them what we consider to be the greatest blessing in the universe? How can you have eternal life? How can you have the forgiveness of sins? I'm proclaiming to you that Christ is King because I want you to benefit from that. How is that exactly being anti-anyone? It's not anti-someone to offer them the greatest gift that humanity has ever seen. Brothers and sisters, we have to be careful here that we don't allow this teaching to get diluted out of a mistaken application of the truth. Yes, it's a truth, and yes, it's a duty that we respect every person, elements of truth and grace. Now, especially when we talk about our Jewish brothers and sisters, my goodness, that's in our spiritual DNA. We're not saying God has abandoned his chosen people. We're not saying that God has changed his mind about them. To the contrary, we're saying that God still loves them and all the rest of us as much as ever and is offering them and us and everyone else salvation through the name and the grace of Jesus Christ. Yes, people can understand this as, oh, well, yeah, you're putting others down. You're considering yourself better. But there is such a thing as truth, and there is such a thing as the ability to know the truth, and there is such a thing as the ability to proclaim it in love. And in doing that, proclaiming Jesus Christ as the King and the only Savior, that shows us also then how we proclaim each and every one of the truths that he brings us, including about the sanctity of life. And this goes back to a point I constantly make within the pro-life movement, that to say we can't kill babies by abortion is not a judgment on people. It's a declaration of God's law that we're saying, first and foremost, we have to obey just as much as anyone else. We're all under the same moral umbrella, if you will. We're all in the same boat. We're not better. But to proclaim that there is a moral truth is not the same thing as saying, oh, I'm living that truth better than you are. No, that may be exactly the opposite. You may be living it better than I am. But we still proclaim it. It's not about pride. It's not about arrogance. In fact, it's about love. It's about truth. It's about obedience to the one who has been given to us as Savior of the world. Amen. Jesus, we come to you. We embrace your salvation. You are the name that we proclaim. Lord, we want everyone to come to know you. We want everyone to experience the blessing of your mercy. We want everyone to be sprinkled with the blood that you shed because you shed it for them. You shed it for each of them. You would have gone through your passion if any one of us, any one person in the world, had been the only one who needed salvation, you would have gone through the whole thing. How much you love us. Let us proclaim that love. And Lord, let's do it in a way that helps people understand our motives. Lord, we lift up to you and we ask you to shine the light of your resurrection on all the wounds that we need healed, on all the uncertainty that we need clarified, on all the sorrow that we need consoled, on all the needs, the provisions that we need provided. Lord, if there are financial needs, broken relationships that need to be healed, answer all our prayers, the prayers we have voiced publicly, the prayers that are in our hearts. And we sum them all up now and using the words you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Well, friends, I'll be in Michigan this weekend. Some of you may see me. I'll be in the Detroit area for a special conference about faith and conscience and with the medical profession especially and politics. It's going to be an interesting day. You'll be able to follow my activities, of course, on social media as always. And let's continue to promote these programs. You'll still have this scripture reflection. I ask you to invite others who may not know about these broadcasts to come and watch. If you think they'll be interested, I think they'll be blessed. Thank you for what you do for a pro-life, and we will talk to you soon.
Hello, this is Abby Johnson of Unplanned the Movie. You know me as a longtime supporter of Priest for Life and of Father Frank Pavone. And I just want to encourage you, as someone who knows of the great work of this organization, please continue to stand strong. Please continue to support this mission. It is so needed now more than ever. Thank you so much for all of your support.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.